I'm awake. I don't know about you all. Trying to prepare for today. I've known the speaking schedule for quite a while. I had nothing. It's kind of usual for me. I've got nothing on Wednesdays, but under the direction of Pastor Aaron Morton, I'm going to give the message that I gave at youth camp. Give you a little taste. I actually went through and reread all of my notes of everyone else's, and I don't think any of you would want to wait for me to cover all my notes for all the messages. They were all awesome, and I use that word intentionally because they were all inspired. One of the leaders mentioned, I believe it was Hannah, that we don't get together and we don't share notes, we don't get directed on what we're speaking on, but as the days progressed at camp, how they all tied together, and not just together, but how they incrementally got you going in the direction you needed to go in your walk with Christ. And as you may or may not remember, awesome God was the whole theme. And the scripture was Romans 8:31, which says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" And the idea behind this is, awesome, the S in awesome was the S of Superman. So it was kind of a superhero theme. So that's the title of my message, Superheroes. Because we do serve an awesome God. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking one of my all-time favorites growing up wasn't just a superhero, it was a team of superheroes. I had, I don't know how many copies of the Fantastic Four comic books growing up. We all know the Fantastic Four. They made movies, but I'm going to give you a little backdrop of the Fantastic Four, because maybe not of all of you are fanboys like me and may not understand, there's three different guys. One's on fire, one's a brick house. No, there's a lot more to the Fantastic Four. It was Marvel's very first superhero team. They blended the extraordinary courage of superheroes with everyday human emotions and challenges. And this is what endured them to people. It's what endured them to me, because they're normal people that have now been challenged with these powers and what they are going to do with them. They also brought kind of a family setup to the whole group. There are characters with ties to one another beyond their shared heroism. They laughed and argued like families do. They danced around everyday issues while saving the world. Superheroes that had layers, flawed yet extraordinary. Each member of the Fantastic Four received unique powers that would define their role in the team. The Fantastic Four team consists of all different personalities and characters, different talents, different strengths, and flawed with the human condition. The character traits, their strengths were accompanied by their emotional or ego flaws. Each one had a role within the group because of that. We had the scientist, who was the leader, the pilot and loyal friend, the group glue, and compassionate one, also the fearless young one. This group was dynamic and still had areas that were left lacking in some ways. The unforeseen power that they came in contact with when they were in outer space, this encounter with an external energy or power had transformed each one of them uniquely and specifically, matching their root personalities and their root character. I know this is kind of laborious, but bear with me, it's going somewhere. So you had Mr. Fantastic. That was Dr. Reed Richards. He had the ability to stretch. You remember him. He could stretch into any shape, allowing him to extend, flatten, or twist himself. His character dynamic, though, he was obsessed with science, and this often caused him to be consumed by his work, leading him to neglect his personal relationships, particularly with his wife. Perhaps one of Reed's greatest internal struggles stems from the guilt over the cosmic storm that caused them all to be transformed. His scientific curiosity has driven the team to extraordinary adventures, but it also has led them into dangerous situations, which reinforced Reed's internal conflict between his sense of responsibility and his thirst for knowledge. Sue Storm, there's not much to say about her, other than she's Reed's wife. Always thought it was weird she kept her maiden name, though she's married. Whatever. She was the invisible woman. She could be invisible. Sue is often regarded as the heart of the team. She's act as the glue that holds them together. She serves as a mediator between Reed and Johnny and Ben, balancing their contrasting personalities with her calm, nurturing demeanor. Though she's also a very strong woman, beyond her role as peacemaker, she is fiercely independent and assertive, capable of taking charge and leading the team when needed. So you can see why these guys, in my opinion, are so cool, because there's more to them than just their superhero strength, their power. Johnny Storm, we know him. He's just a hothead. He's rambunctious, lack of thought, more of an action guy first, deal with the consequences later. We know him for his signature phrase, flame on, which activates his powers. Now, he is impulsive, brash, a thrill seeker, and often acts without thinking, which usually leads to trouble for the whole group. However, his heart is always in the right place. And then last but not least, Ben Grimm. Today's society knows him as the Thing. Well, actually, the original Ben Grimm was turned into the blue-eyed Thing. And it doesn't mean anything to you why that's so important, but that was the only thing that was really recognizable on him as being human, was his blue eyes. So he's known as the blue-eyed Thing. His transformation into the Thing endowed him with superhuman strength and durability, turning him to a massive rock skin feature, or excuse me, figure. His powers make him nearly invincible, capable of withstanding extreme damage, and give him the ability to lift very heavy things. Now, the thing about Ben is he's the strongest one of the group. He's the one that everyone called on when things got hot, but he struggled with his exterior appearance. But the interior lies a heart of gold. He's often the emotional one of the whole group, bringing humor, warmth, and loyalty to the team. However, he still struggled deeply with his identity, as his monstrous appearance makes him feel isolated and out of place in the world that judges by appearances. Now, I don't know if any of these character dynamics ring true with you. I think if you actually were listening and paying attention, you're one of these people. You're one of the Fantastic Four by your very character dynamic. Ben, who's always looked to as the strong one, but yet internally struggled with his appearance in a world that judged by that. You had the invisible woman who has to constantly mediate between the group to keep them together as a group. You have the one that actually got them transformed by accident, nearly killed them. He struggled with that, but yet the thing that got him into trouble is the thing that he had to rely on to save the group or try and cure the group. And then honestly, I think most of us can identify with the Torch. Little, sometimes too ambitious, too rambunctious, lacking thought, jumping in and getting into trouble. See, we can see ourselves in these heroes, and we can see it with curiosity and also empathy. Consider this. that all of us here today, we have strengths that come naturally. They are designed into us. They may not be so obvious as the human torch or the blue-eyed thing, but we're all gifted in one way or another. Also, we have flaws that are inherent to being a human, commonly referred to as the human condition. I always found it that to be interesting, since a condition usually refers to something that needs to be removed or remedied, right? A condition. For example, if you had a tumor, you'd want it removed. Or if you had an infection, you would need a remedy. I just think that's funny when you talk about the human condition. It's a condition. There's something needs to be removed, something needs to be remedied. Or that's just the way I think. Now, we are called to be more than humans. There are things in us that needs exploration. And there are things about us that must be expelled, must be removed. I went down a little rabbit hole at this point in the message, and as I was moved to do so. But it's funny how this is one thing that's probably remembered most about my message. So I had to go back and really think hard. What exactly did I say? I don't know. I'm going to give you the gist of it. But there are two dynamics in the world today that are at play in every one of us. And it's no different today than it was in biblical times. We have facts and we have feelings. Okay? Now, how we feel about something should be driven by the facts that we know about that, whatever that is, circumstance, situation, or individual, or whatever. The world we live in. We're driven by facts, and we can feel a way because the facts will make us feel that way when we understand it. But the problem we have today, and the modern consumer, we're trying to drive the facts by how we feel about things. So we feel a certain way, and we want the facts to line up with it. That's not how it works. Facts drive the way we feel about it, and that's it. Because the facts, much like Jim's example of truth, the facts don't care how you feel. It's still the facts. And someone ratted me out because I gave to my wife the example of January. And I'm going to give it again. I'm going fishing this next week tomorrow, so I only have to survive her for one night. Maybe a week will give her time to cool off. But the story is this. There was one January, it was colder than cold out, and the kitchen sink didn't drain. I got the snake out, and it just ran into something, and it wasn't getting any better. So I had to go into the crawl space under our home and start cutting. Well, it's January, mind you. So I'm not going to go into describing the swill, but there was a liquid swill coming out at every cut. I'm laying in this. Did I mention it was January? So I'm wet, amongst other things, not happy. Before I even got down in there, I didn't feel like doing it. Matter of fact, my feelings didn't change that the pipe was plugged. I had to go down there grumbling. I might have even said a cuss word or two. I might have. I'm not saying I did. Cutting till I found where I actually, at both ends, I had open pipe and had to replace that section of pipe. It was plugged solid. I didn't feel like doing it. I really didn't feel that much better afterwards, because the job wasn't done until it warmed up. Things dried out a little bit before I could actually finish the job reattaching the insulation. So you could see, that is an example. It's not about how we feel about what needs to be done. It's not about how we feel about the facts that are put before us. It's about the facts are the facts, and we must deal with the facts. You can feel however you want to feel about them, but it doesn't change the fact. There's things that need to be investigated in each and every one of us, and there are things that need to be expelled in each and every one of us. That's the fact. How you feel about it is irrelevant. And that's funny. That's the one part that most people talked about. Facts and feelings. The truth is the facts don't drive how we feel about circumstances or situations. Facts are in the driver's seat. Yeah. We live in a world that's desperately trying to drive the facts with feelings. Feelings do not change the facts. However, facts do change how we feel. So we are called to be more than humans. There are things that need that exploration. There are things that need to be expelled. See, the Holy Spirit is the remedy whom God sent us when Jesus ascended to heaven. In John 14:26, it says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." See, the Fantastic Four team were basically good people before they were transformed. They became superheroes only after they acknowledged there was something more important than themselves and figured out how to work together to do good and amazing things with their newly acquired gifts. Even though Ben Grimm never fully accepted the fact, his transformation was a gift. As individuals, they could obviously exceed human limitations of strength and ability, but time and time again, they had to learn that together, working in unison, with the same goals, together the advantage was not simply addition. Rather, their power over evil and evil doing was multiplied by every addition of the member of each of the team. It took time, but they found it, and they began an incredible journey with many battles to come. In Ephesians 4:11-13, so Christ gave himself the apostles. Let me back that up. Okay. So Christ gave. No, he didn't. So Christ himself, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Amen. You and I, who have surrendered to the urging of the Holy Spirit, you and I who have received the gift from God, the gift that empowers us to be so much more than mere human, we are made one, a team, with supernatural power. With a faith the size of mustard seed, we are able to move mountains, according to Jesus. Yet, we have the power of God in us to stave off evil and evil deeds, to invoke healing and protection for the sick, the weak, and the unaware. Not in our own power, mind you, but the power of God. Our God is an awesome God. I think that was the first song this morning. I didn't ask Angela. She just knew. Our God is an awesome God, and there is no doubt about it. He has chosen you to be a vessel of his power for good. Through us, he has chosen to show the world who he is. The power is his. The glory is his. And all worship is his and his alone. This is where we separate from the comic book genre. In 1 Chronicles 29:11-12, yours, Lord, is the greatest is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. See, in the comic books and in the movies about comic books, it's all about the same. The power of the heroes are claimed by the possessor of the power. Not all, but the majority of them. The reality is that no one has the power that God does not impart or that God does not allow. All superheroes have had the power bestowed upon them, and most by accident and for no particular reason and by some unknown source. Ultimately, not by choice and not by their power. We, on the other hand, live in the here and now. We have a choice to make, and either deliberately or unknowingly, we make that choice daily. The choice to be part of God's plan for us or to reject his plan for us. We choose God, right? Okay, me and Alsada. We choose God. We choose him in his infinite wisdom and his authority over all. Why? Why do we choose God? To be a conduit for his will, to demonstrate how awesome our God is. We choose to call on God for strength in every circumstance. We cry out to the all-powerful and merciful Father to heal and to comfort. Yes, comic book heroes were transformed but still flawed with human condition. So are we. They were transformed into a force to be reckoned with. And once they understood the condition well enough, used it to combat the spread of evil and help the weaker beings. So are we. They weren't perfect. Neither are we. Reed could be too focused on science. Ben struggled with this monstrous form. Johnny was a brash and impulsive. And Sue often had to mediate between them all. The true strength and what made the Fantastic Four and superheroes were often when their uniqueness and their newfound abilities were being developed and joined together, each to cover the other's weak spots. There was little to nothing that could ultimately defeat them. Just as comic book heroes seem to always discover new ways to use their power through discipline and practice, the children of God also grow in effectiveness in ways that are only revealed as we seek them out. New discoveries as we dig deeper in a relationship with the God of all. We practice with what we have at our disposal and evolve into what we are intended to be. In Hebrews 12:11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. See, this scripture is often used to describe the discomfort from the correction of wrongdoing. But I say that it emphasizes the truth behind being disciplined and the practices that makes perfect approach to discipline. The very growth in this area of character is uncomfortable. The crazy thing is that it takes discipline to get discipline. This takes effort and commitment, and it's not always easy. Through Scripture we learn, and practice we grow, and with discipline we mature. By the will of the Father, we are to be heroes of the supernatural kind. In John 6:40, you thought this was going to be short because it's a youth message. I don't know, I've got a lot more. John 6:40, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at that last day. backing up two verses in John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but do the will of him who sent me. See, as Jesus followed the direction of the Father, we are to follow Christ. Newsflash, right? We are to be defenders of the weak, speakers of the truth, demonstrator of the love of God, and standing fast in our faith. We are beings, yes, but members of the body of Christ, one of many, a team in service to the army of God. Which brings us to Ephesians 6, 10 through 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There is a this, and there is then a that. We are to suit up, and we are to put it in action. Picking up in the 12th verse of Ephesians 6, it says, therefore, okay, so you got this connection going on, so therefore, this is what you're there for, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. In place. I want to emphasize that. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. See, comic book heroes, they only wish they had an outfit as awesome as this. If they were real people, they would. We are to be superheroes with our proper garments. Though it may not feel super, nor are we going to look that heroic, we are superheroes serving a supernatural, all-powerful, all-loving, and all-knowing, awesome God. Psalms 103, 2 through 4. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. That's us. And we're to be demonstrating unity in the Spirit of God, having the knowledge of who God is through the written word of God, and the heart driven with purpose is where there is victory. Hear me, defeat is not ours, but defeat has been predetermined for our enemy, for the enemy of God, and defeat has been predetermined for the enemy of our souls. God is awesome. He is supernatural, and he has sent his Spirit to live in us. There is nothing that can come against us. Nothing can defeat us. The victory is ours. For our God is the, capital T, capital H, capital E, the superhero. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I probably blew past my spot where if I could have the music team come up. Joshua 1:9, I close with this. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen. So we do serve an awesome God. We did have an awesome camp. If you can, speak to all the leaders that gave messages and ran small groups. Each one of us, if it would be absolutely ridiculous to think that we're not getting something out of it as well. I'll give a little personal testimony real quick. I showed up there, stressed out, pulled in 10 different directions, not really all that excited, to be honest. But about an hour and a half of being there, yeah, God slapped me right in the face. And just like that, I was so glad to be there with purpose. With the kids that we had, these young adults, watching their growth, as Aaron touched on youth camp Sunday. We got an amazing group of leaders. There's not a single flake in the group. We chuckle, but that's a God thing right there. Solid in the word, being able to instruct, comfort, and direct the youth in this church. It's a solid foundation in which tomorrow's church is going to be based on. And, I thank you for letting me enjoy your kids for the weekend and every Wednesday night. I thank you for the support of the youth group. And I thank God that he's put all these people in places to make it so. Amen? Amen.
We serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome God. And the awesome God that is beyond all of our comprehension has given each and every one of us a specific gift. That awesome God has a specific plan for each and every one of us. But it's up to us to accept the challenge and to walk in that. It's up to us to walk in that path and do what God has called us to do. And it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're a high schooler, where you're working, God still has a purpose and a plan for you. We just got to walk in it. I was thinking about it when Larry asked me to close. This morning, the kids were playing chess, Josiah and Lucy, and Josiah was getting so mad at Lucy because she wasn't playing right. Josiah likes to make the pieces fight and everything, and Lucy likes to just put them on their color squares, and oh, look how pretty. But he was getting mad at her, and I said, dude, he's mad at her because she's not playing right. And I said, dude, here's the ironic thing about this. You're not playing right. You don't even play the game right. So you can't get mad at her until you play it right. But it kind of led to this discussion where I was explaining to him all the different pieces and how they move and how, you know, the knight can jump over. That's the horse, if you didn't know. It's the only piece that can jump over pieces. The bishop is the only piece that can go diagonal. The rook can only go front and back, side to side. The queen can do whatever. But I was explaining that to him, and I was thinking about it when Larry was talking back there. We also have, like in a chess game, it's not a perfect analogy, the chess pieces have a specific purpose. They have a specific gift, right? They have to walk in that gift. It's the same for us. We have a specific purpose and a plan that God has put in our lives. We have to walk in that purpose and that plan. We have to accept it and do what God has called us to do. Wherever you find yourself, you have a purpose and a plan. And first and foremost, our purpose and plan, I'll just spoil it for you, is to make disciples. That's what we're called to do. But our giftings in that are different for each and every one of us. How we do that is different for each and every one of us. But we have to walk in it. We have to accept it. And the challenge is out there today. The challenge is out there. Will you walk in this perfect plan that God has for you? Will you accept the plan that he has for you? Will you walk in your giftings? And will you trust in the awesome God? Because like Larry said, it's nothing special in ourselves. It's nothing special in ourselves. It's only because of him and what he has done and his awesomeness. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your plan. We thank you that your plan is perfect, Lord. We thank you that you have given us gifts, God, that each of us can walk in these gifts. Lord, you don't need us. You don't need us, God. You could do everything without us, but you choose to use us. And Lord, I just thank you so much for that, that you give us a purpose in this plan, that you give us a purpose in your grand plan of redemption. Help us to walk in it. Help us to make disciples. Help us to look for opportunities to serve and to grow. Help us to look for opportunities to share your love and your purpose with the world that so desperately needs it. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to walk in unity as a church and a body so that we can encourage one another, so that we can walk in the gifting as a church that we are called to walk in. Lord, I just pray that you would take out any division, any strife, any bitterness in this church, God, so that we can walk in unity and faithfulness to you. And Lord, we just praise you. We thank you. You are an awesome God, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.